Sometimes I have to call more than two times a day to keep him straight. You know, I was thinking a moment ago when he talked about that church was bottled up. Well, the genie sure got her out of the bottle, didn't she, huh? And this church... Has he got me down?
Turn it up. I can't hear you.
Give me a little juice. I promised God when I started preaching I'd be original or nothing.
I'm going to get this out of your pocket if you don't mind. You look a little more dignified.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you want to see me dignified, come to my funeral. Amen. I won't be able to even get my hands in my pockets then. Somebody asked me one day why I preach with my hands in my pocket. I said, so as to keep them out of yours. But anyway. I told the Lord I'd be original or nothing, and I found out I was both. But if I couldn't strike but one note on the piano, it'd be B natural. Now, you get that by flow freight. Amen. I just pitch them out. You field them. Amen. A few years ago, I don't think I had a place when they're in such a challenge. And it looked so hopeless. But I believe that Dr. Falwell will agree that he and I wept and prayed. And along with him, I never lost faith. I went all up and down this land, and people would say to me, well, Jerry's going to lose, isn't he? I said, no. If God is still on the throne, he'll not lose. Because we have a big God. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we are able. And so I took hold of God and believed God. And I believe that God was just as able to get $1 million as it was $5. But when it come to 16 million, I began to doubt a little bit. But the cattle, he said, on the 1,000 hills are his. I said, well, all the gold and silver and oil under the hills are his. So why not claim that? Amen.
Amen.
And so we were here for that meeting 2 years ago when the battle was on. And I mean the razor blades were flying 1,000 feet high. And I kind of feel lost today. There isn't any fight going on. Amen. We're sort of coasting now. But I remember we had the tremendous meeting on Wednesday night. Thursday, Ronnie and I drove back to West Virginia. I lived in the in Holy Land at that time. And Ronnie had already moved to suburbs. He'd moved to Florida. So he went on to Florida, and I stopped at home Thursday night. The next I began to get ready to go, and my wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back to Lynchburg. I said, I have a feeling that Jerry needs me. And I got in a car and drove 300 miles. I drove back here on Friday. And we prayed and went through the matter again on Friday night. Saturday I left with a conscience that God was going to do the big thing. And I've kept up with it through the year. And the half has never yet been told. And yet God's going to see not only what's happened, but God's going to see something more and more tremendous than you've ever seen. So you keep praying. And in spite of the devil and some preachers and the government, I think God's going to give victory. Amen. You know what? Why? Because this man has courage. And backbone. That's what a preacher. I've never seen him driven up the wall. I've never seen him discouraged. He stands erect. He stands straight. I've heard preachers praying for grace. They really needed backbone, I think. They had a little yellow string with a few ribs tied to it. Amen. That's the reason that the lions couldn't do anything with Daniel. He has too much backbone. I think a preacher ought to be 97% backbone and 3% hair. That's what I think about. Amen. Actually said that I had 1 foot in the grave. I said that and I got out of the grave they're worrying about. Amen. So So I'm going to be around here for a while. I was in a church the other day where they're really gone into business. They're in the selling cemetery lots. Wanted to sell me one. I said, wouldn't I be a pretty fellow, but preach the Lord's coming and buy me a graveyard? I'm not going to need one. Amen. I'll start out walking some morning and my foot won't touch the sidewalk. And I walk a little more and I go on up above the trees and take another step and my coat pulled off my shoes. That'll be a big day for the rag man. So I'll keep... Okay. Let me read. I just got to be me now. Amen. Open your Bible if you would like to. The third chapter of the book of Philippians, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I suppose that the Lord Jesus never had a more bitter enemy than Saul of Tarsus, the man who was to become the mighty apostle Paul. But his heart was so filled with bitterness that he went about persecuting the church and putting them in prison and even slaying them. And doing it all, he said, with a good conscience, feeling that he was doing the right thing. And after he had exhausted all of the Christians in and around the city of Jerusalem, he heard of a little group down in the city of Damascus. And he armed himself with a long journey to Damascus to arrest those hated Christians and bring them back and vent his feelings upon them, casting them in prison and murdering them and so forth. So he started his long journey, and as he went day after day over the hot sands under the blistering sun, he pushed on, spurred on by the thought that he would soon have those hated Christians within his grasp. And just when he's on the outskirts of the city, and just before he would swoop down upon them, behold, there was a light that shone round about them and a voice. And a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Those that were with him saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And then poor Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then he said, you go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do. And so he was led into the city by kind hands in his blindness, and down through the city of Damascus and down on a street called Straight. And there lodged in the home of one Judas. The Lord had another servant by the name of Ananias. And he said to Ananias, there is a man here now in the city by the name of Saul. And I want you to go down on Straight Street, and there in the house of Judas you'll find him. Ananias said, not me, Lord, for I've heard about him. Not me. He has come to kill and to put in prison. And he said, don't fear him, Ananias, because I've unhorsed him. Don't be afraid of him. So Ananias walked down the street of Jerusalem, or the street of Damascus, and inquired the place, and then in the house he found him. And he said to him, Saul, you've had trouble about something through these years. You've had trouble. And the one thing that's bothered you has been the deity of Jesus Christ. You've been wondering whether or not that he was the Son of God. You've been wondering whether or not he was the Messiah. And by now, no doubt, that experience out yonder on the road, the voice, the light, and all of the miraculous things that happened, no matter, no doubt you now are convinced that he was and is the Son of God. Let me say this to you, my friends. You're not ready to confess Christ until you're ready to confess Christ as God. Because the man who does not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ cannot be saved. A man, someone said to me, could I not be saved and not believe in the virgin birth? Impossible. Impossible. Just like a man said to me, couldn't I be saved and believe in evolution? I said, impossible. I've never seen one yet. One little fellow said to me not long ago, said, do you believe in evolution? I said, I didn't. But now I wonder. He looked like he hadn't been off of the limbs too long. But anyway. And the reason why you can't be a Christian is because evolution says that man did not fall. Climbed down out of the trees and started to walk. So if man did not fall, he doesn't need a savior. Amen. Did the monkeys sin? Did the monkeys sin? So when you chop down, when you destroy the Garden of Eden, you've chopped down the need for the cross of Christ. And the man who knows only a human Jesus doesn't know any Jesus at all. The man who only knows even a perfect Jesus doesn't know a Jesus sufficient for his sundering about it. Now you're convinced, he said, why don't you arise and confess that faith in the act of baptism? I believe in baptism. I believe following every New Testament conversion follows a baptism. However, it doesn't save you. And so he said, arise and be baptized. And he was. And ever after that, when the Apostle Paul got in a hard place, he always went back to that spot. He always went back to that spot, not being disobedient to the heavenly vision he had. And he goes back to that spot and said, here is the place where it happened. Here is the place where I was changed from nature to grace. I wonder if you have that sort of a place. I wonder if you have a spot in your life. Can you walk back down the halls of memory and stand yonder somewhere? Maybe in some far out of the way place. Maybe in a little country church or in the great crowded cathedral. But somewhere yonder you had an experience. You can go back to that and say, here is where the new birth, here is where the miracle of the new birth took place. Because you have to do that if you're ever saved. Amen. Dr. John Rawlins said to a lady, said, are you saved? She said, I suppose I belong to the PTA. Can you go back and say, here is the spot? You say, Dr. Lakin, do you mean that if I'm saved, that I have to know the time and the place where I was saved? I don't say that. But if you were ever saved, there was a time and there was a place when Jesus washed your sins away. There was a time and there was a place when you were changed from nature to grace, made a child of God, adopted into the family of God, brought out of darkness and into light, and brought out from the children of darkness into the children of light. And do you know that time and that place? I do. You say, well, I think you could be a Christian and not know it. Well, you could lose it and not miss it. But anyway, let me show you something. I believe that John said, this is written that you may know that you have eternal life. You say, Dr. Lakin, do you know? Yes, I know. I know it better than I know where I was born the first time. I only have my mother's word for the first birth. My mother said that I was born on June the 5th, 1901, at 5 o'clock, at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. I know I was born because I'm here. Amen. But I know another thing. I know I was born because I'm here. I know I'm alive because I can do what live people can do. I know where I was born the second time. In a little country church at the Forks of the Creek in Wayne County, West Virginia, United States of America. Out of the Forks of the Creek, over on the left-hand side of the church, of a little country church, at a little old homemade mourner's bench. And it wouldn't hurt to put one in again, amen? And when I knelt that night, and he came down the aisle with a cross on his back and a crown of thorns on his head and said, what can I do for you? And I said, do for me that I cannot do for myself. There wasn't any great demonstration that night, but there came a deep, settled peace into my soul that'll stand the crush of worlds. And I told the Lord that night, I said, if you'll save me, you'll never hear the last of it. Hey, you know something? For 55 years, I've gone up and down this country and done nothing but stump the land for Jesus Christ. And I'm going on to tell people they can, amen. The one thing that bothers me today is I have a feeling that there's so many people in the church that have never been saved. That have never been saved. Oh, you say you're a judge. No, I'm not a judge. I'm a fruit inspector. You may tell me a born-again man wouldn't go to prayer, that a born-again man wouldn't go to Sunday night service, that a born-again man wouldn't tithe his income. I believe that a born-again person will go to revival. Amen. I believe they'll go soul-winning. I believe they'll win people to Christ. And I am concerned today, and I don't get excited, but I am a bit concerned about driving so many people through the baptistry today as to whether or not that they've been born again. You can run them through the baptistry just like sheep through a dip. But I'll tell you, there must come, first of all, an experience of grace. They must have a real feeling that they've been born again before that happens. I remember when I was a boy, and that's been a long time, but a fellow went to join the Baptist church. They made him stand up and give a testimony. He was saved. The Baptist did. The Methodist took him in on 6 months probation. And now they all take him in on suspicion. You can't. You know what causes you trouble? I'll tell you what. You know the reason your fruit sours on you? You pulled it too green. That's what's the matter. Amen. I saw the other day where a fellow had 375 decisions in a meeting, 14 of them first time. It makes good figures, but it's... That I may know him. That's the thing I want to know. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, Dr. Lakin, how many do you suppose have been saved in your meetings? I don't know. I've never kept a scrapbook. I've never kept any notice. I've never kept any statistics. He'll keep that. Amen. He'll keep that. I've never kept any of that. Like a young preacher asked me the other day, Dr. Lakin, how did you promote yourself to where you are from a mule saddlebags? I said, I never promoted myself in the least. The fact of the matter is, I never had a brochure. I never asked a man for a meeting. I said, I'll tell you the truth. I never expected to be anything more than a country preacher. That's all. And I'm still that. Dr. Malone up yonder in Pontiac built the B.R. Lakin Library. I went up the other day and spoke at a banquet. Had my name out there across the front of it, B.R. Lakin Library. I went out that night and from the dormitory and stood there underneath it for a while. Then I said, Lord, it's a long ways back yonder to the mule and the saddlebags. And that little country church yonder in the head of Greenbrier Creek with the pot-bellied stove and the coal oil lights. It's a long ways, and 18 in Sunday school. I said, there's where it had its beginning, and the trail started from there, and it's wound down back and forth across this continent miles I've traveled, and one of these days it'll come to an end down on the banks of the river of life. And I'll go. And he'll come and say a few words. I hope he's kind about it. Amen. If he doesn't, I'll get up and rebuke him. Amen. Let me say this. Let me tell you something. That I may know him. You say, what does it mean, Brother Lincoln? I think he said that I may know him better from day to day. That's what you ought. You want to know Jesus better, then make much of the word that tells about him. If I want to know about astronomy, I read about the stars, I read astronomy. The rocks. Or if I want to know about botany, yes, the flowers. I read all of that. But if I want to know about the age of the, if I want to know about the Rock of Ages, the Rose of Sharon, bright in the mornings, I read it here in this book. There's what it tells me about it. In the volume of this book is it written of me. If you want to know him better, walk down the corridors of this Bible and there he'll be unfolded to you. It'll tell you how he walked over the embattlements of heaven down the stairways and came into this world by the way of a barn door and went out by the way of an old rugged cross. Sailed in a borrowed boat, rode on a borrowed beast, buried in a borrowed tomb, arose on the third day and went back to the Father. I find it in this book. If I want to know about him, I must watch. I must make much of the habit of secret prayer. Because when it's men, when men are alone with God, that they see him. It was when Jacob was alone with God that he awoke the next morning after wrestling all night with the angel and went limping away with his thigh broken and his name changed to Israel. It was when he had spent the night yonder in the garden with sweat pouring down that he said, the hour has come, alone with God. Help me to be alone with God. There he uncovers himself and lets me see. Then I must watch with uncompromising watchfulness against sin. God's arm is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sin has hidden his face from you. Somebody said, Dr. Lakin, if I sin, will the Lord leave me? I said, no, but he'll hide his face from you. If you want to know him, then make much of him. And then if you want to know him better, do what? Be busy winning others to him. And lo, I am with you always, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You haven't worshipped a dead something in a tomb. Thank God you're worshipping a living Lord that went into the tomb and came out on the other side and dangled the key to his girdle and said, I am he that was dead and am alive, and behold, am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, yeah, you like Easter Sunday, don't you? But you don't like Good Friday. But you never see the rainbow except you see it through the raindrops. Neither will you see a glorified life except you see it through the teardrops of Calvary. Through the teardrops of the fellowship of his suffering. Group singing not long ago, isn't it fun to be a Christian? Paul didn't think so. John the Baptist didn't think so. He lost his head. Paul didn't think so, in prison, stoned and beaten. Yonder when he bowed his head on a chopping block and I said, they're going to cut your head off. And he said, when they do, the Lord will pick it up and put a crown of glory on it that fadeth not away. Amen. Well, I better quit. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved and going to heaven. Shall we stand a minute, everybody? Will you bow your heads with me for a moment all over this building? Oh, that I may know him. I'm saying today, Brother Lakin, I'm just down, not downright dead sure that I've been born again. You may be a member of the church, but you're not sure that you've been saved. But you said, I'd like for you to remember me in prayer, because before the big bell rings and the time comes for me to go, I'd like to know that I'm saved and ready. Pray that prayer for me. Will you lift your hand? Let's see. Put it away up high. Thank you. God bless you. How many here today will say, Brother Lakin, the prayer of my heart is that I may know Jesus Christ better from day to day. Will you lift your hand? Thank God bless you. God bless you. Keep your head bowed. All right.